Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Thank you, Jesus, so much. I really do worship you, Lord. We would have no hope in the world if it wasn't for you. Where would we get help? Where would we get our direction from? Who would we turn to? Humans don't seem to have the answer, do they? But Lord, we look to you. You know, while we were worshiping, I saw a picture of very troubled water, and I felt like it was for a person here. That you're it's like you're in a ship on the water, but the water's very troubled. And it reminded me of when the disciples were in the storm and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. And these guys were seasoned sailors. They were fishermen. They knew the waters. They knew the ships. That's all they did for a living. And so when they said, "Master, we perish," you know, like, "Wake up, Master, we are perishing. This is it. It's over for us." These guys were not, you know, they were no wimps. These men knew the sea. And this was it. This was a bad storm. And I'm not saying this troubled waters I'm seeing is quite that bad. But one thing that, as I was just worshiping the Lord, it kind of, the Lord was impressing me, is that he said this: "It may look like I'm sleeping, but I'm not sleeping. I'm very much paying attention to the waters, and I am not going to let the waters overtake you. And when it is the perfect time, I will stand, and I will speak to the water, 'Peace, be still.' I will not let you drown in this. I will never, I'm not going to let you go. I never stop watching over. It's not like I leave town and go pay attention. This person I'm talking to, you have felt like, you know, where is he in this? Where, help me, Jesus, where is he at?" And I know I'm probably just talking to one person, but I just really feel impressed to tell you, I can see the Lord focusing intently on you and on your situation, and his love for you. You know, we are so human sometimes. Sometimes we can make the mistake of measuring God's love by our circumstances, or measuring his, you know, is he paying attention? Is he watching? You know, because this is bad, and wait, it's gotten worse, and now it seems worse, and Lord, you know, are you sleeping here? But he never really is. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, the Bible says. He's paying attention, and he's watching over you, and he's, you know what, he loves you, and he does have compassion, even, you know, I've been both. I've been faithless, and I've been faithful at times when in trouble. You know, I've later learned how to be faithful when the storms are there, okay, but in early life, I was not so good at that. And what I found is he was faithful no matter what I did. When we remain faithless, he remains faithful. He will never, never leave nor forsake us. And he will see you through. And what he's looking for, even if it makes no sense and that there doesn't seem any way out, there doesn't seem like any possible good solution, if you will just fasten your hope onto him. You know, sometimes people in faith, they get a certain idea, well, if it comes out this way, you know, that's the Lord. And they latch onto this one thing, and they stand in faith for that, and that's not wrong. But what I found is sometimes God has another way. In fact, in my life, I would say most of the time it is not the way I expected him to come through. But when he came through with a blaze of glory, flying colors, and better than what I hoped for or expected for. And what he's looking for me is not necessarily perfect faith all the time. What he's looking for me is that I trust him. I trust him with my life, that he's bigger than my life. He's bigger than my circumstances. He's, guess what? He's even bigger than if we blow it. Did you know that? Even if, yes, thank God, even if we zig when we should have zagged, even if we make mistakes, because guess what? We do. We're called human for a reason, because we is. And what I found is if our heart will just not, don't let go of him in it. Say, "I don't know how you're going to do this, You know, I never tell him how. I've learned not to tell him how to do things. But what I've learned to do is say, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I know that you're my Savior. You know, there's a scripture that sometimes in the oddest times will come to me. He who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved will be saved. That's not just about salvation. That's when you're in a situation and you're in trouble and it looks like there's no help for you. And there's no human help. There seems to be no help. If you call on the name of the Lord to be saved, you will be. And don't worry about the timing. Don't worry about his timing. Don't worry about it. Just stay as faithful as you can. Stay in him. Stay close to him as much as you can. Because he will not let you down. I feel like he's saying, he's giving me to say, he will see you through this. And he'll see you all the way through to completion. And I'm hearing these words. Forgive me. I just have to go with this, okay? Did I not promise you? Did I not tell you that I see the end from the beginning? Did I not start you on the path having already seen where that path is going? See, I wouldn't start you on a journey if I didn't already know the outcome. I wouldn't send you to destruction. And so I feel like someone here has really been wondering, and they've been tested, I want to say almost to the core, of what is going on. Like, why is all these things happening? It seems like everything's going wrong. I know God promised that, but you know what? When God promised that, he did not forget. God never forgets his promise to you. I'm talking never. God never forgets a promise. And here's something I learned. God even remembers a prayer you prayed 20, 30 years ago that you even forgot you prayed. God never forgets it. And he's faithful to the end. He will bring it to pass. But you know what? Sometimes he will let us be tested in it. It's not so that he can see what our heart is made of. He knows what our heart is made of. But we're so quick to say, we think we have it together and we think we're in faith and we think we're strong. Well, sometimes after a few trials that are bigger than other trials, sometimes we say, oh, maybe I don't know what I thought I knew. And we begin to rattle a little. But you know what? All God is doing, he's trying to build an understanding in us. Because you know what he will do? He will do something that will glorify himself in it. He will do what is best for you, and he'll glorify himself, and he'll make his name known. And I feel like he's turning situations around in this room. There's situations he's turning around in your behalf. Doesn't always happen overnight. But don't worry about that, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. You have faith when you don't see it yet and you don't understand why things happened the way that they did and things fell apart when you thought they were going to work. Does that mean God's done? No, he's not done. I'm doing things now that for years God promised me I would do, and it seemed as though, honestly, in the natural, if I didn't know God better, I would have thought him a liar. Because it got so bad and it looked so the opposite for so many years. But you know what? God was always working on it. He was always working on it. Because he had a plan. And sometimes, guess what? God has a plan that's a surprise. It's like he has something up his sleeve sometimes. And he doesn't always like to tell you. Because it's a surprise. There's something he wants to bring forth and go, ta-da! Because then everybody goes, oh, wow, you are so great. Now we get it, you know. It's actually trials that produce good things in us. It's actually trials that produce a real saint of God. It's trials that produce someone that won't fall over at the slightest wind, puff of wind, right? It's trials that make us very strong. Resistance training is called that for a reason. It is. There has to be resistance. You know, I could go there. It's the way of healing. It's the way of building a muscle. It's the way of building faith. It's the way of building wisdom and understanding. And I'll just say this. One thing I learned when I was young, I thought faith was You figure out, you know, how it's going to turn out, and you have faith for that. And then maybe that doesn't happen the way you thought. And then the next thing doesn't happen the way you thought. And the next thing doesn't happen the way you thought. And then he reveals his plan, and it's so far superior to what you thought. Faith isn't always getting your way. Faith is knowing that God will always do what is the best for you and for his kingdom. He will always, he's always looking, because you're his child. You're his baby. You're his son. You're his daughter. And I know I told you this last week, but guess what? I'm going to say it again. In the very beginning, the whole reason God created people was he wanted a family. He didn't want servants, hard workers, get-her-done type of people. He wanted family. He wanted relationship with sons and daughters. And that's what he's still about. That's still the heart of God, more than you doing good things for him, more than you working hard and getting it done and feeling like you've done accomplishments. All that's going to not mean that much in heaven. But your heart for him, your fellowship with him, your relationship to him. Listen, relationship isn't relationship if it's only in a, when things are going your way. That's not relationship. Relationship is relationship when things are not so easy. Relationship is when your heart joins to his, when there is a wind. You know, you can actually learn to run into him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. When you run into him in a trial, not understanding, but knowing he's good, I think that for me is the key. I finally figured out he's good. We would all say, is God good? Oh yeah, God's good. But you know what? In a trial, sometimes you begin to think, is God really not good? That doesn't seem good. And people can begin to question, our heart can begin to faint a little. But when you really get it, you really get a revelation in here, in your guts, and not in your head, that God is good, and he's always going to do what's good, you can run into him in the middle of a trial, in the middle of the ocean, when there's no hope and it seems like all is lost. I can't get off this because I feel like someone's received some very unhappy news, and they were really hoping not to get this news. They got this news and it's just almost too much. What you can know is that God is with you. God will walk you through this. God is going to walk you through this. And he's going to be with you every step. If you won't leave him, he most certainly will not leave you. So join your heart to his. Stay in relationship with him as much as you can, because he's going to walk you through this. So that was free, as they say. I wasn't expecting any of that. We actually had no plan. I thought this was Lori's night to preach. And she started to do that thing today of, what are you preaching on? What are you preaching on? Wait a minute, your turn. I think it's your turn. So we're really just waiting on the Lord. So one thing that came to my mind today, if any of you have ever heard of a man named Howard Pittman, I know you have. Howard Pittman is he's quite old now, very, very old now. He was a policeman. He had a terrible accident where his head cracked open and he died. He should not have come back, but he was brought back. But in his journey of being with the Lord, he learned a lot of things. He was a very religious man. He learned that he was not a saved man. He was religious, but he had no relationship. And he did all the stuff, all the church stuff, all the good works. He did all that. And so he changed his life. But one of the things that happened to Howard Pittman was he traveled through what the Bible refers to as the second heaven, or the realm where the enemy lives. And he saw a lot of things. And he came back and wrote several books of the things that he saw. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and it was a friend that's been saved many, many years and is really quite knowledgeable in the Lord, in the Word of God anyway. And we began to talk about how this certain event, I really felt like it was the enemy. But they really just were looking at it as though it was a natural circumstance. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? sometimes something can happen to you, and if your mind is trained to always look in the natural, you may not be able to solve the problem because you'll try to solve it with natural means. But what if it's a spiritual problem? Natural means will not solve it, will it? And I know we've talked about this before, but remember in the Bible, a young man was brought and he was possessed and he was foaming at the mouth, and the devil would try to throw him in the fire, throw him in water and drown him. And the father was beside himself and he asked Jesus to help. Jesus cast out a devil. And one of the, there's several versions of that story, but one of the versions, it says that that boy had trouble speaking. He was mute, or he stuttered. You know, they're not sure which the translation is. When Jesus cast out the devil, the boy was healed. But in the natural, see, if today, if people saw that behavior, they might think, oh, epilepsy, let's give him drugs. Would that, now I'm not disrespecting anything about that, because maybe it is that. But what if it's not that? Are we dealing with things in the natural that really aren't in the natural? And so sometimes I just want to expose the devil a little bit. In one of his books, he actually drew a picture. He saw this spirit. He said it kind of looked like a frog a little bit. And what it did was it tried to get a young man and woman together that were not married. Okay, he tried to get them to hook up. It's like a spirit of lust. Now, I want to talk about that for a little bit. Just as examples, we're just going to throw out different examples. And I'm going to ask Lori to help me as she thinks of stuff. When I was very young, 20s, so I was really turned on to Jesus, and I didn't know anything. And I had a secular job, and I worked with a lot of men. I worked with mostly men. And was very young, and back then I was kind of cute and all that. And there was a man that I worked with that I was very drawn to. Now, I didn't have lust for him, but I had something that the Lord told me was called inordinate affection. And what the Lord was saying was, that's a spirit. And this spirit would often work on young women who are more prone to have romantic feelings, want a hug. And at the same time, a spirit of lust would tackle the guy and try to get him to hook up. And those two spirits were actually in cahoots. Can you understand?
Yeah.
And so if people aren't aware of that, so thanks be to God, I had the Holy Ghost. And I knew, I was taught, I loved the Word of God. And so I knew absolutely no relationship, no relationship with an unbeliever, be not unequally yoked, right, with an unbeliever. And B, inordinate means out of order. Inordinate affection. Affection that's out of order. A, the guy's not saved. There's all kinds of issues with this. So I knew it wasn't God. I knew it wasn't God. Did that make those feelings leave? No. So what did I have to do? Exert self-control? Well, yeah, but what I really had to do was recognize this is a spirit and take authority. And so when I was talking to my friend, we were talking about this, and it was almost like she was kind of like, huh? You know, like, and I thought, oh, now I'm worried, because you've been saved all these years, and whenever there's a problem, you resort to natural means, and so you're struggling, like spirit of fear. Fear is not always a spirit, but it can be. And a spirit has more clout than just your emotions. There's certain movies you just shouldn't watch because spirits are attached to them. And just so you know how things work in the heavenlies, I'm sure, one of my struggles as a person who shares is I tend to think everybody knows that. Well, guess what I'm finding out? They don't. And so people are struggling, and I'm not saying it because I just assume everybody knows that. And so I'm going to say some things that some of you go, well, ABC, hello, Holly, we know that. Okay, that's okay if you know that. Not everybody does.
Right.
And so one of the things that you have to do is speak to the devil. Don't ask Jesus to take it away. He said, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So we don't say, oh, Lord, take this away. Oh, Jesus, take this away. No, you have authority. You say, devil, in the name of Jesus. And you take a scripture. And I'm persuaded just about any scripture will do it. But you get a scripture and you keep hitting, because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. A sword is an offensive weapon. That's how you cut down the devil, and he has no defense. This is so interesting. The devil has no defense against the Word of God, none. He has no defense against the blood of Jesus and a scripture. So I find this interesting. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came and tempted him? And if ever there was, you know, if ever there was probably a head honcho of devils, think of it. They wanted to take Jesus out before he started. They're just figuring out who he is. This is trouble. We got to stop this guy. Let's tempt him to believe he's not really called. Let's tempt him to, it wasn't just about getting him to eat bread. If you really the Son of God. You know, if you really called, the devil ever come to you and question your identity in God? If you're really called to do that, you know, do this. If you're really called to do that. And what he's doing, he doesn't care if you eat the bread. He's trying to get you to question who you are and what you're called to do and give it up, because he can't make you stop it. He can't stop your anointing. He can't stop your gifting. He can't stop your calling. Only you can. So what he tries to do is get you to decommission yourself, disqualify yourself. If you are not aware of his tactics, listen, there's a scripture that says, be not ignorant of the devil's devices. Don't be ignorant of the way he works. Don't go through life just thinking, oh, that's just me. It ain't. Sometimes it's not. That thing that tries to come and condemn you and make you feel like God is mad at you, hello, it's a devil. Yep. Kick him out. Take a scripture. Now, here's what I was trying to get to. Jesus could have struck him with lightning. He could have fried him like an egg. You know what he did? He used the word, the word, the word. He stabbed him repeatedly with a scripture. It is written, it is written, it is written. We do not have some higher method. And what I found is it always works. Did you know that some sicknesses are really devils? Not all, but some. And I've had some that there's a war on, and the test. Listen, even though I know my authority pretty well, he would come and try it, and I would say, no, in the name of Jesus, you know, by his stripes I'm healed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. See it, you know, boom, 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 boom. And he would leave, and then about 3 hours later, he would try to come back. And then he would say, see, you still don't feel good. You feel that? See, you've got that. You still don't feel good. It's a devil. Now, am I saying it's always a devil? No, not always. But a lot of time it is. Yeah. And if you are not aware of what's happening in the spirit realm, you're eating food. This is a terrible analogy, okay? But this is how God taught me. There are times when the devil will come and feed you garbage, filth, and you eat it because you think it's truth. And when God showed it to me, it was like a plate of something so gross, I won't mention what it was. But you can guess. And when you eat that as though it's truth, and you start to think, yeah, you're right, because you think it's your emotions, and you accept this filth, which is a lie. And how do we, you know this, we've got you pretty trained, how do you know what a lie is? A lie is anything that opposes the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the standard for all truth. It's the standard of what is truth. So how do you know when a spirit is a deceiving spirit? It will tell you something that opposes what the Word has said. If the Word has said that he made you the righteousness of God in Christ, and the devil comes and says, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, who's the liar? And if your emotions hook onto that thing, now what can happen if you don't deal with it is you can create an open door, and when one come in, they go get all their friends and they come in too. Because with that foul, stinking lie, and that's just one example, there are many kinds of examples where if a devil, he'll try to get a little toe in hit to your door. And if he can get you to believe the lie, oh, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to get through this. God's not going to come through for me. Oh, the devil goes, hey, you know, I can't do it with that thing. And hey, boys. And then in comes maybe condemnation, defeat, failure, depression, suicide, all kinds of other garbage starts to find its way into your soul because you had an open door and you didn't slam the gate shut in his face. So we have to be more shrewd. Jesus wants us as shrewd as serpents, gentle as doves. As shrewd as a serpent. So question, when your emotions start to get a little bit off, you know, I used to be just the worst at this, and I heard Rodney Howard Brown say, you know, he said, if you lose your joy, you're getting into error. And I thought, that's not true. But over time, I realized that's exactly true. Because when you lose your joy, you are believing a lie. You're either believing God isn't with you, or he's not going to resolve this. His promise isn't happened. He's not going to come through the way he said. And when you start to buy that glop on the plate and you're eating that, now the devil whistles for all the others, and in comes depression or sadness or sorrow or boo-hoo, self-pity. There's a doozy. Self-pity is one of the most deadly, poisonous devils there is. Because when you feel, and I am embarrassed to say, I did it. And when you feel sorry for yourself, you will not get help because, you know, you just want everybody else to come and fix it for you. Poor you. Poor me. Things are so bad for me. Oh, it's so bad. And you start to just feel so bad about your circumstance, and you start to look for, you know, everybody to come and help you and fix you and pray for you, and it's garbage. And you know what God's response to me was? Really? He wasn't going to, you know, it was like I was expecting him to just come and minister to me and help me, and he was like, I did that. Been there, done that. Died for it, bought it, purchased it, and gave it to you. You can kind of pick now, Holly, which way you want to walk. Do you want to walk in truth, or do you want to stay in that swamp? I'll let you. You want 8 more years? He wasn't mad at me, but thank God he didn't baby me. Or he'd still be in that pit of slime. It was pathetic. And so what I'm trying to say is we need to be more aware of how these things operate. And when the enemy comes, he comes quite often with a suggestion to your thought that you think is your thought, but it's not. It's a suggestion. It may come as an emotion. And I'll tell you something. First, let me just say this. You may already have a lie in your soul, even though you're born again, you're going to heaven, you know Jesus, he loves you, and you know it. But you can still have a lie in your soul from when you were little, or even generational, that says, God isn't pleased with me, or I'm not worthy, or whatever the lie is. And when you have that, Satan can come and hook onto it. And now you have a strong hold. He has to have something. He has no authority over you. Just listen, Jesus stripped him clean, stripped him of all authority. If he had authority, you'd be dead. If he had real authority over you, you wouldn't be walking the face of the earth. Satan hates you. He's terrified of you because he knows who lives in you. So what has he got? If he can't take you out, what can he do? He can try to get you to decommission yourself. Either by believing you're sick or believing God's healing isn't for you. God won't heal me. God's mad at me. Everybody's mad at me. I'm going to go out and eat worms all day. You know, it's so sickening. And once you see this, you almost get violent because it's like, I'm not taking that. I'm never taking that. And here's what he likes. So if you get pretty sharp, he'll start trying to get you at night when you're tired. You're fast asleep, and he tries to show up. Oh, I don't think so. I'm not that tired. We have authority day and night, but we have to exert it. And I think that one of the big mistakes is we expect someone else to come and do it for us. But there's some things no one can steward for you except you. And so one of the things you're given stewardship over is your thoughts, the entry point of your thoughts, your emotions, your reactions. You are the only person that can steward that. No one else can do that for you. And so you have to be sharp enough to recognize when a thought comes in and it's not quite right. And it's much better if you capture it right at the gate and say, no, that's not what the word says. If you capture it right at the gate, it can't come in and live there. And so, but if you don't, if you start to entertain the thought, whether it's, listen, it doesn't matter what kind of devil it is. He'll try what'll work on you. Did you know that there's imps that just watch to see what your weak spot is? Because what your weak spot is might be completely different than mine. Did you ever notice that? One person would never be tempted to, you know, whatever, go get drunk. Another person, that's their weak spot. That's why you never want to judge anybody for whatever their deal is. Because you have your own deal you got to deal with. Right? Just you know, well, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, but would you? You know, never judge anybody else for their weaknesses, but we need to pray for one another, right? Because we need to get stronger in this. We need to be more shrewd than the enemy. Just interrupt me when you get some. So he comes, in Ephesians 6, it talks about the darts of the wicked. I'm persuaded those darts are thoughts. Now, this is just my opinion, but I believe that both angels and demons can suggest things. Angels can suggest holy things. Now, I don't know why. A lot of times when the Lord talks to me, it is the Holy Spirit. I know that, but I've had times where an angel would say, you know, I actually had a time, this is a little strange, my pastor was going to have, they were going to have this big doings, and it was like this 15th or 20th anniversary of the church, and it was this big deal, and I was the choir director, okay, don't laugh, but I was. And I said, Lord, I'd really like to have a special song. And so I said, Lord, would you give me a song? I'm sitting at work, at my job, and I feel a hand on my shoulder, and an angel says, get a pen, write this down. It was not the Holy Spirit. It was an angel, and he gave me this beautiful song, which we produced and we did. It was lovely. Did I write it? Nope. Now, I don't know why an angel was sent with that one rather than the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I'm not that smart. But my point is this. If an angel can bring a message, and devils are sometimes fallen angels, do they not still have the same function? So yeah, very similar function, except one's wicked, one's good. Angels hearken to what? Our words. They hearken to the word of the Lord. They hearken diligently to the word of the Lord. Guess what? Satan hearkens to what you're saying. So you have to be very careful what you spout, because he'll use those words, and they empower him if they're wicked words. If they're words of defeat and failure and depression, and it's never going to get any better, and those words empower him, and a lot of times they are incited by him. He doesn't have the authority to just take you out, so he's got to get you to do it by suggesting things. For some people, lust will just take them out. They just don't have any willpower over that, so he'll just use that. And listen, all he needs is one thing. He doesn't have to go, you know, when that's not your issue, he doesn't have to try to get you to go commit adultery if he can get you to go do what your weakness is. He will use he'll try different things on you. And when you get whole, meaning when you get delivered, there's some things I've been delivered of, thank God. And those don't work on me anymore. They just don't work on me. So then it was like he went, oh, nuts, now what am I going to do? I got to go find something else. I got to try something else on her because now she's free in that area. I can't get her on that. See, I used to have guilt and condemnation. I don't have it anymore. Even if I blow it. That's free. I so know God's love and forgiveness, and I so want to live a holy life that if I blow it, I so know I have an advocate with the Father. I so know that my relationship with him, we are one, we're close, we're together. Am I perfect? No, he loves me in spite of my imperfection, but I know the grace and the mercy of God. I didn't always. So now he can't get me on that anymore. So now he's got to go, what can I get her on? So he does these things that I'm convinced are what the darts are about in Ephesians 6. It says, it talks about all the weapons of our warfare, but it says above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. So if he comes to you and says, you're not worthy, well, first of all, that's big news. I wasn't worthy to receive salvation. I stand in his worthiness because even though I had none, he gave me his. That's faith. And no devil can take that from me because that's mine. Jesus paid for it. I received it. That's mine. No devil can steal that from me if I won't let him. So I can take the shield of faith, quote a scripture, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And he goes, oh, nuts, can't get her on that. Okay, let's see, what else can I try? How about this? What? Let me try to make her feel like she's sick. Let me throw a symptom. You know, Lori had some kind of bugaboo. It was real pretty painful, pretty bad. Now I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that. You know. So I did pray. And I'll be honest, it's because getting ready to go to a place to preach on Friday, and I really want to be well to do that. So what does Satan do about the second night in? Oh, man. I'm like, no, you're not giving it to me. Ixnay. You know. So what do? I whip out the scriptures. Do you always feel like it? No. Do you sometimes think he's telling the truth? Yeah, sometimes it feels like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the big one. Oh, and the doctor confirmed it. It's really a big one. Yeah, Google confirmed it. The doctor can confirm it. And because there are some things that Satan can do that will actually reflect on a test, so you have to be more shrewd than him. We have to be bigger than he is. We have to know our word. And we have to, you know what, I love the Holy Ghosters. I'm a Holy Ghoster, and I love the renewal and the revival folks. You know, you are aware there's different camps, even in the Holy Ghost movement, right? There's the Wordites, word, 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 you know. And if you try to go about into them and talk about the presence, they're like, what are you talking about? It's all about the word. Yeah, it is. And if you hang out with the revival crowd, they're still getting people healed, but they're getting them healed based on the presence and the glory. But they don't have a clue how to stand on the word. I'm not saying I shouldn't generalize. But what you find is, you know, listen, Smith Wigglesworth said, the real action comes when there's a marriage of the word and the spirit. Because the Bible says the word and the spirit agree. Well, why would that be? Because the Holy Ghost wrote it. Come on. He's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. They are one. The Word is one with Jesus, is one with the Holy Ghost, is one with the Father. They're not going to disagree. There's different methods of getting your healing or getting your finances, but to me, listen, you guys know I love to pray. I love to pray, and I love to see miracles through prayer, and I've seen a lot of them. But I've seen some things that don't budge until I get a hold of a scripture and I crank it. And I say, this is what my covenant says. I am in covenant with God. God signed a covenant with me. Nobody can take that from me. And here's what he has said. No devil can stand up to that. No circumstance can stand up to that. Now, does it immediately happen? Yeah, usually not. So that's when I'm called upon. See, because here's what we do. Here's what people do. The attack comes, we stand. The attack comes again, we stand. The attack comes again, we stand. The attack comes again, and we stand. And the attack comes again, and we go, I guess it doesn't work. I guess I'll faint. I guess I'll give up, and I guess I'll just go lay down. It's not really coming through. So what God has challenged me on is, and I'll just quote what he said to me, and some of you have heard me talk about this. He challenged me. He said, do you believe I am who I say I am? And it was kind of like, you know, if he could have shaken me, he would have. And the truth was, I wasn't. I wasn't really believing he was who he said he was, because things in my life were bad, and they were bad for a long time. And so it started to look like God wasn't coming through. And it began to feel like, of course, you could never say it in church. You know, you had to keep your church mask on. I have it together. I'm in faith. Not really, though. Do you know that we can lie to ourselves and walk around and say we're in faith when, in fact, we don't believe? Come on, you know it's true. You know I'm telling you true. You can actually have faith and doubt concurrently. Did you know that? We've seen, you know, I was married. This is Edgar Bailey's shirt, by the way. I'm wearing Edgar's shirt. Thought I'd be preaching good tonight. We saw miracles regularly. We saw healings regularly. I've seen lots of healings just at my hands. Nothing like his, but I've seen a lot. I know God heals. It's not like a question. And yet, I've had times when my body was under attack, and I began to feel like, I know you heal, I know you love to heal, I know you still heal, but I didn't feel like I was being healed. And so at the same time as I was in faith, there was question going on in this brain, both. And so God began to deal with me to rearrange. What did he say? We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with the washing of the water of the word. So we have to renew how we think. And you know what? We can choose what to believe. We can choose. Faith is an act of your will. You can decide, I am going to believe what God has said. I am going to believe that God will keep his word because I know now that he is good. And when you do that, Satan doesn't have a leg to stand on. You got something, Lori? Good. I came to a pause. I think it's your turn.
So I was thinking about when Holly was talking about being healed in the presence. And the difference between being healed in the presence and being healed in by the word. And, you know, I was raised up on your Edgar Bailey Ministries, and so I always got healed in the presence. And I didn't know that the word worked, that you could get healed from speaking the word. And I was thinking tonight of how many times I've gone through sickness or disease or, you know, whatever it is, a broken bone, and the presence has always healed me. And, you know, declaring the truth of God's word would enforce the presence, so to speak. And so as I'm thinking about this tonight, I was thinking of all the times, you know, we get so programmed to think that migraines are normal, that high cholesterol is just because you ate bad. And that's what happens when you get a certain age, or memory loss is to be expected because you're older. And I want to let you know that that's all lies, and it's all propaganda from the enemy. The source is the enemy on that. And, you know, we look at the word. I was thinking about Moses tonight and how he really didn't get started until he was, we'd call him quite old, but he really wasn't quite old according to the biblical standard of time. And I'm looking in the room tonight. I wasn't, but I was. And I was thinking of people who, there's calls on your life, there's promises from God, there are things that you know deep in your heart, but yet you're struggling against a ailment or an obstacle. And I'm going to challenge you tonight to put it to the test. Can it stand up against God's promises over your life? Let's just go there. If you're struggling with a memory issue, let's just say your brain is a little foggy today, you know what? It's not. You have the mind of Christ. And what I mean by that is I have lost my memory two times, completely lost my memory two times, and God has healed me both those times. Now, there is an assignment against my mind, obviously, for that to happen. Now, I didn't know that back in when I was young, but as I had a reoccurring pattern called memory loss, I started to ask the questions of the Lord, what's going on? And when I started to go after this, I was able to get my mind healed. And what I did was Holly taught me this many years ago. I got a spreadsheet and I wrote out certain scriptures that I would say every day regarding my mind. And I would bless my mind and I would speak to my mind, and it changed the course of my direction, and I no longer have memory issues at all. And I'm not going to receive that from anybody who tries to tell me different. And let's just say one day I forget somebody's name. I'm not going to say, no, I have got the mind of Christ. I'm going to hold the word to that, the standard of the word, to the lying devil, the little imp that's trying to get me to come along with, it's called decay. Listen, we don't, that's the world. We're not of the world. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and there's places in the spirit where you can go and stay and eat and drink and be one with God. We're just by being in his presence, you're healed. You're rejuvenated. And that is one of the biggest obstacles I see in the body of Christ today is busyness and division. The enemy wants us to be divided against each other and your belief. My belief is better than your belief. Really? What does the Word of God say about that? It says we're ambassadors and we don't get an opinion. We don't get an opinion. And I remember the day I had to come to terms with, oh, I don't get an opinion? That was kind of like, it didn't happen in a minute, let me tell you that. And it has saved me countless hours and trials because I don't get an opinion. I'll listen to yours, but I'm not going to engage in it. And it has actually brought peace into family situations. It has brought peace into some crazy, weird stuff with people that you would least expect. And what it is, it's an assignment from the enemy, to cause you to have a little bit of a door open, maybe pride, self-pride. Well, why do you think that way? I don't get to have an opinion how you think. All I can do is listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying at that moment because we are ambassadors. We deliver the word in season, not when we're cramming it down someone's throat because we want them to change. That'll never work. But what happens is the enemy's watching, and that's why it's important when we're ambassadors, we may know the truth, but oftentimes the Lord will just say, not now, don't say a word, because they're not ready for whatever it is, the truth. And people sometimes have a version of truth that gives them a self-satisfied feeling of self-importance. And you can't argue with that because there's a spirit of pride behind that. And this pride is blinding. And so today, what I see is the spirit of division is stronger than it's ever been. And you know, I was driving down the road, I don't know, about a month ago, and there was a political sign. And I looked at that sign and I thought, good Lord, how far have we come away from, you know, can we just love each other? You know, and you know, I've got friends on both sides, the right and the left, and it doesn't, to me, what are we doing today? What are we focused on? Because if we're focused on trying to convince somebody to come along with what we believe, first of all, I don't think that's how Jesus did it. I kind of remember him throwing, like, you know, tables upside down and calling the Pharisees certain things, and he did that because he knew who he was. And so we need to know who we are in Christ. And then when Christ says, speak, we speak without fear, but we speak in love and boldness. Love and boldness is what sets people free. Love and boldness can change a heart. Compassion of God, people know the difference between being compelled, being bent on an idea or, you know, whatever. And they know the difference between the love of Christ. They know when somebody truly cares what they're feeling. Because that's the thing. The world is feeling. And they want to be heard. And listen, God's not about that. He's about bringing people out of the pit of hell. But he has the way to do it. You know, I got scammed, I don't know, about a month ago on Facebook. And I wanted to pummel the guy. You know, I wanted to just beat his face in the ground. I don't know who it is because it's a fake guy. And I was really angry about that. But I know that I cannot allow myself to be angry. And it took me 2 days to get over it instead of 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. How many of you are still upset about something that happened 2 years ago? You know, think of the time that is lost in relationship. And that's what the enemy wants. And so I remember I was sitting in here and I was worshiping. And all of a sudden I was like, I forgive him, Lord. I bless that man. And then I was like, I started to pray for him. I started to think his soul is in danger. You know, there's, you know, he lives by corruption. And I started to think, I want to send him the hell video about the guy in Chicago that got shot and killed and went to hell, the short version. And I thought, do I want to send it to him because I want to stick it to him, or do I want to send it to him because I care so deeply for his soul and I want him to know Jesus? I had to wait because I wasn't sure what my motive was. I had to be pure of heart. Now, I haven't sent it because then I got really sick, but I'm going to send that to him, and I'm going to let him know that I forgive him, and I don't know if it'll get to him or not, and I don't care. But my job is not to hold grudges. Grudges are open doors to let the enemy come in and plant sickness and disease on you. I've seen it over and over and over. And then pride comes and blinds and says, wow, nothing wrong here. I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay. God didn't strike me down when I had formed judgment or I hurt somebody's feelings and I didn't apologize. God, it's okay. They got over it. But really, those are seeds of destruction that are in the spirit realm, and they're growing whether you see them or not. And so I'm going to get back to the sickness stuff. You know, I mean, I've had my gallbladder, you know, I've been battled that in a conference once, and I, you know, I was able to get in the presence, and God healed me through the presence. And yet, I don't know, a year later, my gallbladder had to come out. You know, I don't get that stuff. All I know is God is true, and his word is true, and if my heart is pure, and sometimes my heart needs a little correction. If I get too busy, you know, like that song tonight, I like it better when I'm following you. I think everybody likes it better when I'm following Jesus. You know, it's just my life is better, and your life is better when you follow him. And see, because we're designed to know him. We're designed to be one with him. And the enemy loves to get us to, you know, be too busy. That's my challenge that I face. Be too busy and not stay connected or grounded in my place of rest in him. And I challenge you tonight, how many are you so busy that you don't even know where the place of rest is in him? You know, have you ever experienced his peace? Or are you still chasing it? Because here's the thing, you don't chase his peace. You rest, and his peace comes, and then you're like, whoa. I remember the first time it happened. I didn't know, because I'm a get her done, pray, 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 get her done. And then one time, pray, 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 and all of a sudden, whoosh, what's that? That's the peace of God. Well, I love his peace, and that it's like a compass of my life now. I have to have his peace. And so when Holly was sharing earlier about the different things, you know, I like the easy way of healing, and for me, it was always in the presence. It's because I'm a seer, and it's just the way I grew up in underneath Edgar and Holly. But there came a time when I had to speak the word of God to make the devil leave. You know, it wasn't just the presence that would heal me. I don't know why, but there came a point where I had to start enforcing the word, the law, the truth, that by his stripes I am healed. And here's the thing, when you're sick, you don't want to do that. And here's the other thing. When you've had a chronic illness for so long and God hasn't healed you yet, we tend to stop fighting or contending over the promises of our life, and we kind of just like start to limp. I'm not going to limp. I refuse to agree with any part of my body that thinks it's old, tired, or wore out. I've seen creative miracles. I've seen God regrow. And so why not now, Lord? Why not now, Lord? I'll take that now, Lord. I'll take every healing that is in heaven that you're releasing right now, Lord. I'll take that. But some of us are like, no. That's weird. But what if it's the way your healing is going to come? It always comes when we least expect it, because that's how God is. You know, I've been contending for stuff, and then one day, boom, there it is. I wasn't even thinking about it or praying for it. And see, God is not predictable when he's in this way. He's so spontaneous and so fresh and so new, we can't even comprehend that, because our little brains are so wrapped up into the natural realm of the spot on our hand. Is it cancer? Oh, my God, is it cancer? Go in the name of Jesus. Spot, go in the name of Jesus. I refuse the package. My skin is blessed. It's healed. It's anointed. It walks in oneness with God. We need to start talking to our body parts. We need to start blessing them. You know, I was away, 6 months ago, having a time of my life with the Lord, And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I need to apologize to my body for how bad I treated it for so many years when I was young and crazy. You know, I'm thinking, good Lord, you poor thing. You know, you're still hanging out with me? You know, I wouldn't. I would have left you a long time ago. And, you know, I was like, I spoke to my body parts, and I apologized, and I blessed my body. And I could feel a difference. It was like there was like a reconnection of some stuff that was just kind of off a little bit. And you might think that's weird, but I think you're weird. I do, because you're not trying it. Where is your belief? Where is your belief? You know, I've seen it. I remember when my knuckle broke. I hurt it really bad one day, and I knew it was an enemy, an assignment of the enemy, because I was going to help somebody fix something. And my knuckle got smushed by the by a trailer hitch. The trailer gave way, and it just crushed my whole thing, and it swelled up. And I stood there. Well, eventually I sat down, and I commanded healing to come forth now. And it took, and I remember my stomach, I remember being shocked, and it took a good 5-10 minutes, but I watched my knuckle go back into place. That's a creative miracle. Yeah. You know, I believe in creative miracles. Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. Some of you are like, won't say I do. Why not? I believe in creative miracles. Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Start agreeing with what God's word says. We have to start speaking it out loud. It's important to speak it out loud. And listen, if you're all on drugs, you know, like if you're in the doctor's medical system, God bless you. But start speaking to your body and command healing. And eventually, you'll start to notice, oh, that. Listen, I've been on migraine medicine. I've been on asthma medicine. I've been on cholesterol medicine. I've had weird stuff happen. But I also know that God healed me from every one of them things. And you know what it was? Devils. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen those devils leave me. Oh, don't look. Yeah, let's deal with it, you guys. Come on. Stop agreeing with the medical system. I agreed with it because that's all I knew because I was raised up. You took aspirin. You did this. You did that. I didn't know God healed. I know now. And so when the enemy tries to start going after me with whatever something, I mean, I got nailed pretty hard this last week. I will admit that. I was on my back, and twice I saw the devil pinning me, and I thought, I think you only get 3 rounds on this. And I really was kind of like freaking a little bit, and because I thought, this isn't good. I'm under the enemy right now. And when you're under, it's hard to come back up. And the only way to come back up is through the Word of God and His promises. And I remember Holly saying, because I'm like, you know, and she's like, I think you should put on Kenneth Hagin or something. And I did. And I couldn't talk. I couldn't breathe. But I would try to get those scriptures I had no breath, and I would just try to get them. As soon as I started speaking them, I felt the release in the spirit. But there was still a battle. And it was, because what happens is when you're sick, don't pay attention, guys, just stay in. When you get sick for a long time, it's like you start to agree with the symptoms of your body because you're connected to your body, you know. And so in my case, you know, a self-pity started to come knocking on my door, you know. And well, when you already are laying down and you don't feel good, rub my head, you know. There's nobody to rub my head, okay, let me just tell you. And so what ended up happening, you know, finally enough time went, you know, where healing started to come forth. But I was slimy and gross and, you know, you know, I'll be real. You know me, guys, I'm real. And I'm laying oozing with self-pity and thinking, I don't think I'm going to do anything ever again the rest of my life. I'm going to stay like this because, you know what, half dead's not so bad, you know. But really, I like it better when I'm following him. I like it better when I'm following him. And see, the enemy was trying to get me to come into agreement with half dead's not so bad. And you know, thank the Lord that Holly took one look at me. And she, you know, she's like, I hate to say this or something like that, but you're all slimed up and you need to pray for 4 minutes. And I'm thinking, I ain't praying for nothing, you know. And I did kind of like this. It was like flipping her off. She goes, did you just flip me off? I go, I think I did. But here's what happened. I felt the challenge in the spirit, and it was either come out of that chair, out of that self-pity, or stay there until 10 years later. And I thought, Shabbat. And I said Shabbat kind of out of rebellion, like Shabbat. But then I thought, oh, Shabbat. And so I kind of primed the pump, and, you know, and will I say immediately I felt great? No, I had a battle because I'd been on my back for over a week. And so I had to rebuild strength and everything, but it was by the power of the word and by praying in tongues that brought forth the healing and then the clarity. And so when I've been stolen from by the enemy, I kind of go back to the Lord and I say, you know what, I'm kind of upset that I lost a whole week, and I'm believing for supernatural acceleration, not to get work done, for time in him, because I feel like I got robbed. And I know I did. And so I'm expecting great time in him, great cemented time in him. And I want everybody to expect that. You know, if you're battling something, hey, if you got an issue with weight and you've been trying to lose weight, you want go to God and ask him for the keys. I remember years ago he gave me keys and I would try them and I'd fall. I'd try them and I'd fall. But eventually, if we keep showing up, something happens in the spirit. There's a connection. And oftentimes it's through proclamations, really, because we're changing the way we think about ourselves and we're coming in alignment with the word. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. You got something, Holly?
How are we doing for time? Okay. I would just add one thing. We've talked about physical stuff, but let's talk about emotional stuff for a minute. Sometimes we can accept a negative emotional condition and accept this is just the way I am, when in fact you need a little deliverance. And so it's a good thing to do some self-inspection sometimes, not for condemnation, not to beat yourself up, but sometimes you've allowed an enemy to come and live with you, okay? And if you're angry, if you have rage, if you're controlling, if you're manipulative, if you're And don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know if you're manipulative, okay? I think you know, okay? And those things, I'm not saying it's always a devil, but I will say it's rooted in Satan's kingdom. And so you have to be careful, because if you align yourself with his kingdom, you get his stuff. And his stuff is sickness, disease, poverty. That's his stuff. That's not Jesus's stuff. And so you want to make sure, you know, Jesus said the most fascinating thing. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. He's got nothing in me. He has nothing he can hold on to, nothing he can grab hold of, nothing he can hook onto, because Jesus was sin free. He was pure. He kept himself pure. He was tempted, the Bible says, in all ways, like as we are. In every way, he was tempted like we are. Yet, without sin. So there wasn't anything Satan could get on him. He couldn't attach to anything. And so for me, what I found is it's much easier to do life if I get the junk out. Don't excuse it. Don't say, this is just the way I am. Well, yeah, but if you had a little deliverance, it wouldn't be the way you are.
Right.
You know? So I would say it's, for me, it's worth the time it takes. And if you're not sure, this is what I do. I go before the Lord and I say, you know, Lord, I saw a behavior in myself. I don't think it was too godly. I don't think that was right. I'll just give you a recent one. Oh, dear. I noticed, this is terrible, okay? Terrible. But sometimes when someone would say something, I would just think, how many years have you been saved? I would just be like, and I just, that's not the proper response, okay? Jesus didn't like act like that to me, right? Even when I was a complete idiot, and he still doesn't, even though I'm probably still fairly, you know, in that camp. He never, ever, ever, ever treats me like that. So that is not a godly attitude, is it? Now, does it matter that no one saw it? No, it's an ungodly attitude. The Bible says don't sit in the seat of the scornful, right? Isn't that a little bit scornful? Okay, so now we could just justify, this is what we do. We just go, well, he looked at the way I am, and we just blow it off. Now, are we still saved? Yes. Does God still love us? Yes. But our life will not be what it could be when we carry that stuff. And we give an open door to the enemy and wonder why the attack is coming sometimes when we're giving them the open door. I'm done with that program. I will do what it takes to get free. So it's a simple process, but I go before the Lord and I say, Lord, that's icky. That's sinful. What is that? Is that something I need deliverance from? How did that get in there? Because some things you'll discover, maybe you really never paid attention, but you look back and you go, you know, I've kind of had that all my life. Well, in this case, it was a thing. It was a not good thing. And the Lord gently showed me my dad. And my dad was a great guy in so many ways, but I confess that my dad and my grandpa had kind of that issue. They did. I'll tell you, they were good guys, good men, but they were a little bit racist. They were a little bit scornful if somebody wasn't smart, especially my dad, because my dad was really, really smart. Well, God said to me, it's generational. And so you know how it took moments to get free? Because now I understand. I went before the throne of God and I said, Father, I come before you and I bring before you any sin of on my mother and father's side back to the fourth generation, anyone in my family, Father, I repent in their behalf of anything that was scornful, uppity, proud. I don't remember my words. Anything I could think of. I repent. I am so sorry. Forgive me. Let the blood of Jesus wash this from me. And I pray that it will not be an open door to the enemy. Right? Now, it might not have been generational, right? It might have been a false belief system. There's different things it can be, but God can help you get free so easy. It doesn't have to be a big to-do. You don't have to throw up in a bag, like in the, you know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's some churches where they cast them out and they throw up in bags. Okay. Here's the bag. I'm like, we're not doing that here, okay? But we don't need to keep attitudes that are ungodly. We don't need to keep strife. We don't need to keep anger and fester. Don't keep that stuff. What fellowship is there between light and darkness? The Bible says you can't eat of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Yipes. We can't continue to fellowship with the devil's ways and expect God's results. Okay, it's not that God's not trying to bless us, but if we are shaking hands with the enemy continually, you know, through strife or whatever, we need to get free. And there's, you know, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. It's okay to say, you know, I think I have a problem, can you help me? It's okay. We've all got issues, we've all had issues. Sometimes you still have an issue you don't know you have, and then one day it's like God just shines light on you, go, oh, yeah. Not okay. What I think is a problem is when we continue to justify bad behavior, including hidden behaviors of the heart, and pretend it's godly. Okay? That's, to me, like kind of unconfessed sin, isn't it? And I don't want that. I don't want any part of that. I'd rather just expose it, deal with it. If I have to go to God, maybe he doesn't tell me right away, I'm going to keep going to him. I'm going to keep going to him. I'm going to keep going to him until that thing is gone. Amen?